telling Donnie, I was telling him last night, I said, I don't ever prepare for a message till Sunday morning. One thing, I want to give God the benefit to change what I had in mind to preach if He wants to. And I still, even right now, if the Lord wants to change the message, I just want to know He's got the preeminence, and I'll definitely step aside anything I was intending to say or do. But also, I want it to be fresh. I don't want to come bring some stale message, some leftover something. You know, I have to admit, I was talking to my pastor this morning, and he was talking about a revival that he just held up in Muncie, Indiana. And I told him, I said, Brother Rick, I said, you remind me of that verse there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It said, because the preacher was wise, he sought and said in order many proverbs to give unto the people. And that's what it ought to be, a good. I mean, you ought not come to the house of God and be bored out of your head and sit there, you know, for lack of a better word, wishing you somewhere else. Church ought to be the most exciting place in town. It ought to be the most alive place that there is. I mean, even drunks ought to stagger in and say, I just want to find out what I'm missing out on, because they see you going home, and I mean, you're, woo! Hallelujah! Boy, we had a good service today. I believe when we have more noise abroad that Jesus is in the house, like it says in Mark chapter number 2, I believe more people will come in and see what's going on. Amen. But I was talking to Donnie last night. I said, I don't prepare messages till Sunday morning for that very reason right there. And God has confirmed, and so far He hasn't changed what He put on my heart. So let's open up our Bible to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I don't know where Brother Vernon and Sister Linda is this morning. They may have got an opportunity. Or we missed them this morning. I appreciate it. Could have been. The Bible said a man's gift will make room for him. And I think every man's got a call of God upon him. God's got somewhere. Amen. God's got somewhere He can use that man. And we want to read 7 verses here out of Isaiah chapter 53. We'll read all the way down to verse number 7, starting in verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here's our text verse. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought forth as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I want to stop at verse number 7 right there. And I'm going to preach this morning. God be my helper this morning. I'm going to title this message, The Slaughterhouse Religion. And I'm titling it for a reason. Probably be of no value to you. But I'm trying to take the title of this message and draw some people to it. But pray with me this morning. Father, we confess this morning how unprepared we are. Yet, Lord, how willing we are to yield ourselves to Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray You'll take the members of this body. And I pray, Father God, You'd wash them and anoint them. And Lord, empower them to be used of God this morning. And I pray, Father God, You'd preach to me and through me. Lord, I pray You'd convince the gainsayers. I pray You'd overthrow the devices of the enemy. And I pray You'd give to Your children, Lord, the good Word of God. And I pray You'd encourage us in the day and hour we're living in, that we might redeem the days. know the times that they're evil. Lord, we just pray, dear Father, this morning for those that might be here lost. I pray, Father God, this morning they'd see Jesus as they've never seen Him before. I pray, Lord, with cords of love You'd draw them to Yourself. And I pray with mercy, Lord, I pray You'd minister to their hurt and to their need. And Lord, with salvation, I pray You'd save them. Whatever You do, Lord, I pray You'll give us eyes to see and a heart to understand. And we'll give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. I titled this message, The Slaughterhouse Religion on Purpose. Now, there's a lot of people, they don't want nobody to mention anything about the blood. I appreciate that song we just sung. In that last verse of that song, the blood washed throne. And a lot of song books deliberately have the songs removed about the blood. A lot of the new versions of the Bible have deliberately removed the blood from the context. And a lot of the messages today, a lot of the sermons today, have deliberately took the blood out. And they say we're too civilized for that kind of a message. But as civilized as we are, as civil as we are, I just want you to know, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And His blood had to be shed. And I want to preach about my Jesus this morning. And I also want to somehow identify with that crowd that calls any kind of a message about the blood a slaughterhouse religion. John, as he sees Jesus coming to him, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world," in St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29, which I've been telling Brother Keith back there to read that Gospel of St. John, and no doubt he's read that verse number 29 of St. John, chapter number 1. It's repeated again in verse number 35. John again sees Jesus, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And that's what He was. Jesus was the Lamb of God. They come into this world, amen, to take upon Himself your sin and my sin, and give His life a sacrifice for our sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, amen. It's not a pretty picture, Brother Howard, but it had to be. There was no other way. Jesus already knew that He was going to die. He already knew the hour that He would give Himself into the hands of sinners. He told His mother, even at an early age, "My hour has not yet come." And then He said, "The hour is at hand, which the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of sinners." He knew the hour, Molly. I don't know how many have heard this statement, but you heard this statement, I'm sure. You can't get blood out of a turnip. And no doubt that was derived from the Scripture there in Genesis chapter number 4, which says that Cain, Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 3, it says Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Verse 4 says, Abel brought a lamb, and the Lord had respect to Abel's offering, but He had no respect to Cain's offering, and Cain got mad, but you can't get blood out of a turnip.
Amen.
You want to please God, there's only one thing that pleases God, and that's the blood of His Son on the door of your heart. Amen. I thank God that the blood has been applied to me. And I'll tell you what, if you're saved today, the blood's been applied to you, and that's the safest place I know, behind the blood. Amen. But I'll tell you what, the world don't like that message. They don't want to know. A lot of people brought up, they don't want to know that a cow had to die so they could have a hamburger. And therefore they become a vegetarian, or what do you call them? Vegetarian. Who said it? Thank you. They become a vegetarian because they can't entertain the thought that some had to die so they could have something to eat, and therefore they'd come vegetarian. Well, what about the vegetables? Why they got to die? I mean, well, why is it we got to think about the things that somehow never have to die so we can have something to eat? I'll tell you right now, buddy, I like to eat. And I hate it. Fish have to be killed and cleaned to eat. I hate that a cow has to die and be processed so I can eat. I hate it. I'm telling you that a squirrel has to run out of the road like he did this morning. And as hard as I tried, I still couldn't miss him. And one of the tires got him up. And before I got to the end of the road, there's about five or six more that someone else had run over. I hate that. That's just the way it is. And you can go out and hug all the trees you want to. And you can go out and sing all of the songs you want to about the earth and try to save the earth and all that right there, and it's still going to be destroyed. But I want you to know Cain got mad. He got mad because God accepted Abel's offering. And the reason God accepted Abel's offering was because the blood was offered. Amen. Revelation. Genesis starts out with a lamb. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, John the Revelator said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst stood a lamb as it had been slain. The Bible starts with a lamb, and the Bible ends with a lamb. In Exodus chapter number 12, God told the people that was in bondage, He said, get you a lamb. Amen. That's what you need this morning. You need to get you a lamb. And if you already got a lamb, I'll tell you what, you ought to thank God for the Lamb of God. Amen. But in Exodus chapter number 12, He said, get you a lamb. In verse number 3 through 7, He said, speak ye to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Amen. He said, your lamb shall be without blemish. Verse number 5. Boy, he was without blemish. They scrutinized him. Boy, they tried to find fault. Them fault finders, they wanted to find some kind of fault with him, but there wasn't none to find. Even Pilate, as wicked as Pilate was, he said, I find no fault. I'll tell you what, if anybody could find fault, I believe Pilate could. He said, I find no fault in this man. Oh, what a lamb, amen. But the Bible said, your lamb, it needs to be without blemish. You don't want to offer God, as some people do. Matter of fact, in Malachi, God asked them why they was offering all them blind lambs and all them sick lambs and all of them crippled up lambs. God said, would you offer that to your neighbor? Would you offer that to your ruler? Would you offer that to me for? I'll tell you what, God, He sent the best He had for you and me. And He said, your lamb, it needs to be without blemish. Amen. He said, and you need to kill it. Look, I get no joy out of a killing. I didn't get no joy to run over that squirrel this morning. It just happened. There wasn't no way. I tried. I mean, I wasn't going to wreck, but I tried to miss that little squirrel. I get no joy out of that. But in this right here, it had to be. There was no other way. And Israel had to not only get them a lamb without blemish, but they had to kill that lamb. And they're supposed to kill it in the evening. Verse number 7, God told them to take the blood of that lamb. And God said, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house. Let me tell you something. If you don't know what that means, that's a cross. The two side posts and on the head post. I mean, that's a cross is what that is. He said to put it on there. And He told them also, it pictures a cross. He also pitches the protection of the blood of the Lamb. Verse 13, God told him, He said, if you put that door on there, it'll be a token between you and me. And God said, when I see the blood, He said, I'll pass over you. He said, I won't let the destroyer come in to your home. Let me tell you something. The only reason the devil can't come into my home is because of blood. Amen. I thank God for the blood. In verse number 23, God said, when He sees the blood upon the lintel, upon the two side posts, upon the top, He said, the Lord will pass over and He won't suffer the destroyer to come in your house and to smite you. There was only one protection I know, and that's the blood. Amen. Amen. He said, verses 29 through 30, He said, and it came to pass at midnight. Listen, it ain't the midnight hour yet, but I believe it's about 3 or 4 minutes telling. I mean, you see that Dewey sign, Cooper, Dewey Cooper, is that who it is, Dewey Cooper? He got a sign on the side of the road everywhere you go, and it's got a clock on there, and it shows that clock. It's just almost at the midnight hour, and it says time is running out. And let me say this to lost people and to saved people alike, that time is running out. Brother Melvin said, pray for my neighbors and pray for my loved ones. And Gayla said, pray for my lost loved ones. And Kelly said, pray for my lost loved ones. I'm telling him all, he said, pray for my family. I'm telling him, time is running out. Pray for the churches. And they'll work, and they'll preach, and pray, and try to get people saved. The time is running out. Amen. At the midnight hour, it's coming. It's coming on God's time. Let me tell you something. God, Jesus said there's time coming. They're going to run, and they're not going to find no hiding place. Only hiding place I know is behind the blood. Said it came to pass at midnight. The destroyer came, and it smote in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat upon his throne, to the firstborn of the captain that was in the dungeon, and they all died. Let me just tell you real quickly, God's not no respecter of persons. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care how much money you got. I just got a new track from Chick Tracks. I ordered all them Chick Tracks. They sent me a new one. The new one says it. What matters is who you know. Now, if that's Jesus, that's good. But in this case, this track was about a young boy. He didn't have nothing going for him. The only thing he had going for him is he had a rich aunt. And she decided that she was going to bequeath or give him all her wealth to him. And he thought, man, I've got it made. I mean, everywhere he went, he couldn't do nothing right. But because of her, they made exceptions for him. It worked all the way up to the time he died. And it didn't work well with him when he said about his aunt. Jesus sitting on the throne said, depart from me. I never knew you. You were cursed to the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Listen, why would loving God make a burning hell? I'll tell you why. Look at what his son went through. Jesus went through hell for your sins and my sins. You turn what Jesus went through just so you could be saved down. You deserve the hottest place in hell. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, the blood has been shed. The blood has been offered. And I'll tell you right now, you take that blood that Jesus shed on that cross. You take that blood that trickled down His forehead from those thorns upon His lovely brow. You take that blood that run down His backside where they laid them stripes upon His back. You take that blood that ushered all of them ribs where them nails went in and all them beautiful feet where they put them nails. You take that blood and you'll be able to stand in the sight of God uncondemned. And without that blood, you ain't got a prayer.
Amen.
Thank God for a slaughterhouse religion. The midnight hour came. Verse 30 says there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now listen, all the warning had been given, it was scoffed at. My turnip be all right. Well, we're different, y'all. We just don't look at things like y'all look at them. We'll be all right. You better have the blood, buddy.
Amen.
You better not show up before God without the blood.
Amen.
Okay, well, I know what it was, but I know what the blood done.
Amen.
The Bible said the blood of His Son Jesus cleansed us from all sin. Oh, brother Eddie, I can stand before God thanks to the blood. And I can stand before God uncondemned. I can stand before God justified because of that blood. I'm telling you, that blood, Peter said it was precious. He said it was precious. The blood that redeemed us. It came from the Lamb of God. Amen.
Yeah.
For as much as you know, He said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. It takes the blood, amen. Oh, but the Lamb of God, that's where the secret is. The Lamb of God. God sent a lamb down here. There was a man worked in a slaughterhouse, Brother Melvin. And a man brought him a lamb in there. He said, I want this lamb butchered. Now, this guy worked in a slaughterhouse. He didn't think twice about killing this lamb. I mean, that's what he done for a living. Then bought him big Carolyn. He just took that sharp knife, put underneath the neck of that lamb, slit his throat. He's sitting there waiting for this lamb to die. While he's sitting there waiting for this lamb to die, Margaret, he felt something on his hand. He looked down and this little lamb was licking him on the hand as it was dying. That's Jesus portrayed better than I know. I mean, he literally licked the hands of those that smote him. He returned kindness for all their anger. He returned mercy for all their judgment. I'm telling you, boy, Jesus practiced what he preached. I tell you, buddy, he licked the hand of the one that drew the nails in his hands. Amen. I got a Bible at home. In the back of it, it's got a picture. And it shows a man with a hammer in one hand and with nails in the other hand. And he's being held up by the very one that he crucified. And I say, glory for the Lamb. Amen. He licked the very hand until he died of the one that had delivered the fatal blow, the innocency of the Lamb, the love of the Lamb was portrayed in Jesus. Jesus, just like that Lamb, he licked the hands. He practiced what he preached. Luke chapter number 16, Jesus preached. I'm sorry, Luke chapter number 6. I said 16. Can't even read my own writing. But in Luke chapter number 6, the Bible says this. In verse number 27, Jesus said, I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. He done that. Do good to them which hate you. He done that. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that take away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. Until they parted his raiment and for his vesture, they cast lots. They smote him upon the cheek. He turned the other one. Amen. Amen. He practiced what he preached, but hired. And if that wasn't enough, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, talking about Jesus when he's crucified, who when he was reviled, he reviled not. And when he suffered, he threatened not. He could have called upon more than 12 legions of angels to come and deliver him, to come and destroy them. He prayed, Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them. Amen. They know not what they do. The tongue of the Lamb licked the hand of his tormentors. Oh, what a picture of Jesus in that little lamb. That man that slit the throat of that lamb. Margaret, he quit. He said, I can't do it no more. I can no longer do what I've been doing. I tell you what, buddy, he licked my hand. I can no longer do what I did. I sinned ignorantly. I don't sin no more ignorantly. If I sin, I fall down and say, I'm sorry. I was on my knees this morning saying, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to sin. I don't want sin to have any place in me. But every now and then you'll stumble. Every now and then somehow or another you'll slip. Every now and then somehow or another you'll sin. But I'm glad, praise God, that when we do, the Lamb is our lawyer, our advocate. The Bible said, if any man sin, let him ask of God, and he'll forgive him of it. Amen. If we sin, we got an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to give us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And to that bunch out there that calls it a slaughterhouse religion, it is true. But there was no other way. He was laying as a lamb to the slaughter. Gave his life a ransom for sinners like you and like me. What a story. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. You know, if I was here this morning and I was lost, I'd consider what Jesus done for me. I'd ask myself, Why would He love me? Why would He die in my place? Well, I'll answer it for you. There was no other way. You was going to go to hell. If He didn't take your place, you was as good as in hell. But I'll tell you what, thanks to Him going to hell for us, thanks to Him giving His life a ransom for us, we can be redeemed by His blood. We can be, I'm telling you, not just redeemed, but we can have a home in heaven. We can have, praise God, joy unspeakable and peace that passes all understanding. We can have the blessing of God again. We can have, I'm telling you, the hallelujah, like Brother Will back there, and said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I've seen us over. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because He was willing to be the Lamb of God. Father, we thank You for the message this morning. To brag upon Your Son has been a blessing. And Lord, I don't know who all will hear this message. But Lord, I pray for these that have heard it already. That Lord, they might not be hearers only. But I pray they be doers. I pray, Father God, this morning every sinner be convicted in his heart of the fact that You deserve the reward of your suffering. And they were to come up here and let the tongue of Jesus lick them clean of their sin. Oh, Father, I pray, Father God, this morning for those that are maybe cold this morning, stale and out of fellowship with their comfort, and say, Lord, I want to pledge allegiance again. I want to re-enlist. I want to give my life for Your life and live for You and You alone. Help us, I pray, this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask everybody to stand. Listen, if you're lost this morning, don't even wait for them to sing Invitation on Him. Make your way on down here. And I'll tell you right now, for the joy that will sit before Him, He will receive you. Go ahead, Brother Melvin. Won't you come this morning? You realize what an awful price He had to pay so He could say, go in peace to you. So He can say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Won't you come this morning? Lord Jesus, forgive me. Save me. I want to live for You. I need Your help this morning. God bless you, Brother William. See how easy Brother William just stepped up back there? That's how easy it is. Just step out and come up here and say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for shedding Your blood for me. Thank You for giving Your life a ransom for me. Thank You for going to the cross for me. And it was a slaughterhouse religion. They slaughtered the lamb for You. You better get that blood, friend. Without that blood, you ain't going to make it. Leviticus chapter 17 says the life of the flesh and the blood. Said, I've given it upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. Another reference to the blood. God gave His blood on the altar of God for your soul. You better get that blood today, friend. I'll tell you right now, the blood bank of God, there's an ocean that can't be drawn dry. You're to come right now, Lord Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to say I'm sorry. Won't you come? Come on! Come right now while the Spirit left you. Lord, thank You for Brother William. I thank God, Lord, to see a saint of God. Lord, not just obedient, but Lord of God, the example of Brother William, Lord, coming up here at this altar. Appreciate Him, Lord. I know it helps some to consider, Lord, coming. I know it helps some to realize, Lord, they ought to be up here with Him. Lord, I thank You for saints of God. They'll lead by example. I thank You for Brother William. Bless Him, Lord. I pray you put Your blessing upon his family. Put Your blessing upon all that He has. In Jesus' name. You ought to come this morning. For whatever reason God leads you, you ought to come. You don't have to have me beg you up here. You don't have to have me plead with you up here. You ought to come just because it's the right thing to do. You ought to come up here and say, Brother Eddie, pray with me. I need to talk to God. I'll tell you, I'll help you all I can. But all God can say, won't you come? Come on! The Lord's coming. It's at the midnight hour. And at the midnight hour, it'll be a cry heard throughout this world. It'll be a cry of bitter woe. I should have came. I should have got saved. It'll be eternally too late. The last invitation on Him will be sung one day. The last message of invitation to have Jesus for your Savior will be given one day. Your house will be left to you desolate one day. Jesus looked upon Jerusalem and he wept over it. And he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets that are sent unto thee, how long you'd come to me, but you would not. I'd have gathered your children under my wings as a hen doth gather her chicks." But he said, "But you would not." He said, "Therefore your house is left unto you desolate." You know what they do with desolate houses? They bulldoze them down. They burn them. That's good, Brother Melvin. Thank you. Anybody got a word on your heart this morning? I can't go no further. I'm spent. Maybe you got a word on your heart this morning. We'll give you an opportunity if you got one. Any praise or?
I love the Lord this morning. I praise Him for the blood.
Amen, Molly.
You know, there's a lot of people got a different definition of salvation.
Yeah.
You know, all of salvation is about is the blood.
That's right.
And without the blood, you don't have salvation.
Amen.
I love you, Mr. Graham. I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for that blood shed for me.
Amen, Molly.
And I'm looking forward.
Bless her heart.
Coming soon. Because there's too much going down, and God is not a liar.
His Amen.
Word is being fulfilled.
Amen.
Returning. Whether you accept him or not, he's a return.
Amen.
I love him today.
Well, I like it. His word is being fulfilled. Every jot, every tittle. You look around, like she said, and you see the signs of the prophecies being fulfilled. You see Russia over there, and we're right at the brink of World War III. And you can't stop it. You forget about negotiating. You forget about terms of peace. You know, you see all of this stuff going on, and man, people get on an airplane, they ain't been seen since. People get on a boat, and they're gone now, and a little boy got abducted the other day, and he started singing gospel hymns, and his abductor started to turn around and cursed him, and kept a cursing him. He kept a singing gospel songs, and that abductor couldn't take no more, and he pulled the cord over and said, "Get out." He went to the house and called, and they come and got him. But he's singing gospel songs. That guy in that car, I don't know what he had in his mind, but he couldn't take that. He turned around and he said, "Shut up!" And he just kept on singing gospel songs. Hey, we're talking about a little 4-year-old boy. He's singing gospel songs. Somebody got the word of God, that little boy. He's singing gospel songs. Finally, his abductor pulled the car over and said, "Get out. I don't want to hear no more of that." Hallelujah.
This morning, had run through a fence, the old, these wooden fences, just took the top off and went right over through the bottom and said he was pronounced dead on arrival and said they found things in his car that proved he was
on the influence.
He was running bad things in his car.
Yeah.
Showed he was drunk.
See, the Bible says, "He that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." There's a day for that. His day came. His day came when he had to pay the price for that life. If you're living that kind of life, I'd just like to warn you, it's a dead-end street. You better get off on that exit called Jesus. Because I'll tell you right now, it's going to end up just like she said. They found him dead in the car. He shouldn't have never went there. Shouldn't have went that far. He should have been in the house of God hearing the good news. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He should have heard the news that Christ Jesus came in this world to save men like that and women like that. Anybody else got a word on your heart?
I've seen this sign that says Jesus erases mistakes.
That's right.
Why don't they just flat out and say sin?
Yeah, same, I agree.
Sin.
Yeah, that's right. I had an opportunity this week. I hate to put this on that tape because I know these girls are going to hear it. But they shut a machine down at work last week and they put them women in there with me. And lack of better words, I left it pretty good. And I had me some people I hadn't had an opportunity to talk to. And I got to talking to them like Molly said. Their lives were in disarray. I won't mention their names. Maybe they'll forgive me. But their lives were in disarray. And they asked me some questions. And I said, "Jesus is the only one I know that can help. He's the only one I know that can heal." And I quoted some verses to them. And they said, quote us some more. And I quoted some more verses. And they said, we're going to keep coming to you. We want more than verses.
Yeah.
And I saw their hunger and their thirst. And
amen.
I was glad for it. But they, one of them didn't know I was a preacher. She said, you mean you preach? I said, yes, ma'am. And I told her that we had a website for the church. And she said, I want that website so I can go on there. And I gave her, I only had one card in my billfold and the other one once. So I went and made a copy of it. And I made a copy of the thing and gave the other one another card. And they said, you got any CDs? And I said, yeah. They said, we want some.
Amen.
And I put a CD. I was leaving. And they said, put it in my car. I put a CD in one of them's car. And I put a CD in the other's car. I didn't put me in there. I put Denny Rydell in one of them. And I put David Evans in the other one where he preached that message on a home for the hopeless. And Denny Rydell giving his testimony about his problems and how God was able to help him. And I tell you what we need to do. We need to work while it's day. The night's coming when no man can work. We've got just a small window here. And I know those girls, they'll probably hear this message. But I'm not ashamed about the fact I love the Lord. I'm not ashamed to say that I tell people about Jesus. And I like their eagerness. I like their hunger. And you know what? That door got open and I'm going to make good use of it. I'm going to try to get the Word of God to them. And had a guy call me this week. Want to know if I would marry him and his fiancée. His name is Charles Hyatt. Fiancée's name is Charlotte. I said, yeah, I'll marry you. He said, well, I just want you to know I've been married four times. I said, I know. My pastor already told me before this ever happened. And I still consented to do it. And the reason I did is because of Jesus. See, a woman come to Jesus and she'd had five husbands and the one she was right then wasn't her own. Lord, he helped her. I mean, he put the gospel message in a Samaritan woman. She left her water pot and went up to Samaria and brought the whole town down. There was something in her he could use. And I'll tell you what it was. Hope. She come to that well without any hope. She come to that well hoping nobody would be there. He's on the well waiting for her. Because he needed help. People like him need help. And there's hope in Jesus. And like Molly said, he can wipe them mistakes away. He can give you a brand new slate. He can make it new again. He said, I'll make it white as snow. I'll make it as wool. Isaiah 1:18. We got to get the message of Jesus out. You got to do it. Anybody else got a word on your heart?
I'd like to say, I've tried to the best of my knowledge to live Christ.
Amen.
And I know you cannot please everybody here on earth.
That's true.
I know that. But I have a life that I got to live
Bless
for Christ.
Amen. Well, I like the way you said that.
I'm going to stand before the people. I'm going to stand before my judge.
Amen.
And I trust to be honest. And like, you know, I had got some hamburger. I mean, it sounds awful, but I got some hamburger. And when I got to the house, I did not think I had it. So I called the store back. Well, about 2 weeks later, Bobby kept saying, there's something dead in a garage.
Whoa.
So I found it. So I went back to the store. This lady, you know, she was a young lady, and I said, she said, can I help you? And I said, well, I got a question and some things. And I said, are you a manager? And she said, yes, I am. I said, well, I come here. I said, I got some hamburger that I did not think that I'd come home with. And I said, I found it later.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm here to pay you for this. And she said, no, that's okay. You're honest.
Bless her.
I said, are you sure? Because I want to pay for this.
Yeah.
She said, no, I'll just get it. You're all right.
Yeah.
So I walked away because that was bothering me. And I'm not going to lie about stuff.
She made it right.
I'm just honest about stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to stand before my judge.
Heaven.
And amen.
That's the reason I didn't get no meatloaf.
It'll be all right.
I'm going to town to get some hamburger from Molly and make this meatloaf. I said, well, you tell her I want some when she gets tonight. And I just wondered another day, why didn't she never let me know me?
Don't matter how big or how small it is.
Little things.
Wrong, you've got to make it right.
Molly's right. Little things are big things.
Yeah,
it comes to God. That lady at that store will never forget that Molly came back.
You've got to keep your record clean or you can have no joy if you
Takes years to build a testimony. Ask Jimmy Swagger. It takes about that long to lose one.
You know, my parents raised me right. But still, I've got a judge.
Yeah. Righteous judge.
I still got a judge I got to go before.
Amen.
And whatever's in my life here, I'm going to straighten it out.
Amen.
That's right.
That's good, Molly. I appreciate that. That's what we need to do more of, like she said. Make it right. Anybody else got anything on your heart?
You know what I got? When I need it, you got a physical need to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Spiritual need to go to the Lord.
That's right.
And you know that cross that there that's putting that blood on the doorpost, that whole back stands to the supreme sacrifice we offered, you know, Christ. And he's a supreme sacrifice. And we, by faith, apply that blood in your heart. And you know, you forgive us for sins. It took your blood from
Amen.
Your heart. This temporary thing, just blood from a lamb, blood of a. And we know when we get saved, and I'm praying it's no sort of salvation.
Amen. That blood got them out of bondage. That blood got them to the promised land.
He made a way for us. He's right in what
he
does.
He is.
He's a righteous judge.
He done all the hard work.
Well, you got to stop shoving things under the rug. You got to make it right.
That's right. And I agree.
Whatever it is, if it's people or whatever it is,
make it right.
Make it right. Because we're all going to stand there. And we're not going to stand for each other. We're going to stand for yourself alone. Nobody else.
Yeah. Opportunities like Molly just mentioned there, they're kind of rare, but they're great opportunities. Opportunities to convey a thought to someone that they need to do right. It's always right to do right, and it's never right to do wrong. And I hope you do strive to do right. The Bible says live righteous, godly, and soberly in this present world.
I'm by no means perfect.
Well, I'm not neither. I hope y'all don't think I got a halo up here. My horns won't lie to fit. I wish I could have a halo. But I'm going to end this recording right here. Unless someone else has got anything on their heart. And let me say this.